I saw a woman today who finally became hard as wood all over. A French doctor named Guy Patin wrote these words back in 1692. This was the first clinical description of fibrodysplasia ossificans progressiva, or FOP, a disease that slowly and irreversibly turns people into solid bone. Also called Munchmeyer disease, this disease imprisons the entire body, back to front, top to bottom, and it has no cure. Ligaments, tendons, and muscles solidify as the body becomes as hard as cement. The rogue gene of FOP has one goal: slowly harden the body until it's dead. We are in a sermon series called Witnesses to Christ. Today we meet Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate is one of the most notorious people in history. He's right up there with Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and Osama bin Laden. If Pilate's name was announced at a baseball game, the crowd would begin booing and throwing their beer cans. We catch a hint of why when we recite these words from the Apostles' Creed. Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate has an acute case of spiritual FOP. Only in Pilate's case, the gene went straight to his heart, back to front, top to bottom. Spiritual FOP has one goal: slowly harden our hearts until we're spiritually dead. But we really don't notice it quite at first, do we? At first, our priorities are just a little bit mixed up. But then, very slowly, before we know it, we stop praying. We stop repenting. We stop trusting in Jesus. Then the day comes when the words such as Jesus, Holy Communion, Bible study, baptism, worship, Easter, salvation have no impact on us whatsoever. That's because spiritual FOP has as its one goal to slowly harden our hearts until we're spiritually dead. Pilate knows this only too well. According to a Latin inscription found in 1961 on the Mediterranean coast, Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor of Judea for 10 years, from AD 26 to 36. Pilate was from a middle-class family. Now, we can't forget that because this is pretty huge. Pilate was from a middle-class family. Pontius Pilate served the Roman army in the area that we now think of as Germany. One year, while on leave in Rome, he married an upper-class Roman woman named Claudia Procula. Claudia was the granddaughter of Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor. The granddaughter of Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor. Pilate was now in like Flynn. Because of this connection, Pontius Pilate got a position he could have never gotten any other way. What position did Pilate get, you ask? Governor of Judea. Pilate has a role to play. The posse led by Judas Iscariot arrests Jesus on Thursday night. Then Jesus stands trial before Annas, Caiaphas, and finally before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court. They accused Jesus of blasphemy because blasphemy was punishable by death. There's only one problem, though. The Jews can only condemn a man to death, but they can't carry it out. Before Jesus can be executed, the Jews must get somebody else's consent. Whose consent? Pilate's. That's his part. Famously and for ages, that's Pilate's part to play. That's what John says. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning, from verse 28. They brought Jesus to the Roman fortress, Antonia. It's about 6 o'clock in the morning. And they're all there, the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, all of them. And they have Jesus right where they want him. Soon they will have Pilate right where they want him also. Pilate asks a few routine questions, such as, what has this man done wrong? The Jews don't answer directly. Why? Because there's no Roman law against blasphemy. The Jews can't say, well, this man claims to be the Messiah. Because Pilate would just wave his hand and that would be it. After all, Roman history tells us that Pilate doesn't like the Jews. Pilate doesn't understand the Jews. And Pilate doesn't want to waste his time in some religious debate with the Jews. Pilate's heart was becoming harder by the minute. Pilate questions Jesus. He asks, are you the king of the Jews? The all-important word here is king. King means one thing to the Jews, Messiah. It means something else to the Romans, military ruler. Jesus answers Pilate, you say that I am a king, from verse 37. Well, to you and me, this means, yes, I'm a king, but not the kind of king that you think I am. The chief priests want to confuse Pilate into thinking that Jesus is some kind of revolutionary leader and a threat to Rome. Well, it doesn't work because Jesus tells Pilate, my kingdom isn't even of this world. Then he tells Pilate, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate cynically says, what is truth? Pilate's heart is becoming hard as cement. Pilate has Jesus scourged just short of death. But the crowd wants more. They want Christ killed. And so the Jews play their trump card. They say to Pilate, if you release this man, you are not a friend of Caesar's. Pilate knows exactly what they mean. This Caesar, the king named Tiberius at the time, he's sick. He's also suspicious and can be very violent. Sestonius, a Roman historian, tells us that Tiberius could turn on his underlings and could be very savage. Tiberius wouldn't like getting news about a riot in Judea, especially when Judea's governor was only appointed because of his family connections. And Pilate was, after all, middle class. So the Jews blackmail Pilate, pure and simple. And it works. If the choice had to be between Jews and Jesus, Pilate would have let Jesus go. But that's not how the Jewish leaders frame it. Their blackmail makes it a choice between Jesus and Rome. That's Pilate's predicament. The Jewish blackmail makes it a choice between Jesus and Rome. People do many things to save their job, their status, their reputation. People do many things to save their skin. They will even crucify an innocent man. Pilate asks, shall I crucify your king? This king isn't the military type looking for a battle. No, this king is suffering and bleeding. This king is looking for us. He is the king who cleanses sin-stained hearts, the king who heals deep brokenness, the king who calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light, the king who triumphs over death, the king who knows the exact place and time of his execution and still goes there anyway, all for us. The chief priest answers Pilate, "We have no king but Caesar." Now things are getting out of hand. A Jewish riot would end Pilate's political career, so he caves in. Pilate has Jesus executed, nailed to a cross by his hands and his feet, lifted up to hang, suspended between heaven and earth. Why did Pilate do it? His heart had become as hard as Mount Rushmore. Can you see Pilate's pattern? What's in it for me? That's what we see throughout the chapters of John 18 and 19. What's in it for me? That's Pilate's pattern. Middle-class Pilate is climbing the ladder of success. Pilate only cares for himself and trashes everyone who gets in the way. That's a pattern that we follow more often than we like to admit. In the end, we're really not that much different than Pilate. What's in it for me? It's a recipe for a hard heart. And a hard heart is like a wrecking ball. It mangles marriages. It kills kids. And it finishes off families and friends. Spiritual FOP is killing us. Is your heart hard? Is it callous? Insensitive? Indifferent? Dead? It's not too late. Your Heavenly Father will create in you a clean heart, a new heart, a heart that is spiritually alive. He'll mold your stony heart back into life. This is his promise for you in Christ Jesus. Ezekiel 11:19. I will give them one heart. I will remove their heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. God will take away your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. What does it mean? It means that you won't end up like Pontius Pilate, cold, dead, unfeeling. It means that your heart will beat with the life of Christ once again. Amen.